Well, as you see from the title slide there, we are amazingly at part seven of the story of Abraham, which I think we started back in September. So it takes a while to work our way through the life of a person. It's been a long journey, as you know. It started back in Genesis chapter 12, where God calls Abraham, tells him to leave his family, his home and everything, and go to the land that he had promised him and he was going to show him. And if you remember, Abraham had what I called reckless obedience. You know, he really went for it, although it was not without some problems and defects. You know, he kind of lost his way a little bit along the way when he went off to Egypt and with a famine and lying about Sarah being his sister and all these kinds of things. Nevertheless, you know, it was really good. And then 10 years after getting into the land, and God having promised him that he was going to have a son, and it just didn't seem to be happening after 10 years, which you can kind of get a feel for that, can't you? He takes matters into his own hands and sleeps with Hagar, Sarah's servant. And as a result of that, Ishmael is born. Okay, and this wasn't really God's promised child, it wasn't, but nevertheless it was an outcome of Abraham taking matters into his own hands. And that was the last point that we got to. That was Abraham part 6. It's 13 years from that point now, okay? So Ishmael is how old? 13, well, very good. Yes, Ishmael is 13 years of age. During that time, as far as we can tell, at least the Bible doesn't give us any indication to the contrary, it's complete silence. God hasn't said anything to Abraham during these 13 years since Ishmael has been born. So you can imagine where Abraham is right now. He's at this point where he thinks, well, clearly this is the way it's going to be. Now, this is it. This is life. If there's going to be a promise, if I'm going to be a father of many nations, then clearly it has to be through this son, Ishmael. Abraham is 99 years of age at this stage, so you can fully understand why he's thinking that. And Sarah is 90 years of age. They're both getting on a bit in age. So we're about 24, 25 years from Genesis chapter 12. So when the point when God first called Abraham and promised him what he promised him, we're 24, 25 years down the line, so that's quite an amazing time. And 13 years, the last 13 years have been pretty quiet and silent. So we're going to pick up the story now in Genesis chapter 17. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. At this, Abraham fell face down on the ground. And then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. It will no longer be Abraham. Instead, you'll be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. And I will give the entire land of Canaan to you, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants. It will be their possession forever, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility. And this is the covenant that you and your descendants must keep. Each male among you must be circumcised. You must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of the covenant between me and you. From generation to generation, every male child must be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. This applies not only to members of your family, but also to the servants born in your household and the foreign-born servants whom you have purchased. All must be circumcised. Your bodies will bear the mark of my everlasting covenant. Any male who fails to be circumcised will be cut off from the covenant family for breaking the covenant. And then God said to Abraham, regarding Sarai, your wife, her name will no longer be Sarai. From now on, her name will be Sarah. And I will bless her and give you a son from her. Yes, I will bless her richly, and she will become the mother of many nations. Kings of nations will be among her descendants. Then Abraham bowed down to the ground, but he laughed to himself in disbelief. How could I become a father at the age of 100, he thought. And how can Sarah have a baby when she's 90 years old? So Abraham said to God, may Ishmael live under your special blessing. But God replied, no, Sarah, your wife, will give birth to a son for you. You will name him Isaac, and I will confirm my covenant with him and his descendants as an everlasting covenant. As for Ishmael, I will bless him also, just as you have asked. I will make him extremely fruitful and multiply his descendants. He will become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will be confirmed with Isaac, who will be born to you and Sarah about this time next year. When God had finished speaking, he left Abraham. And on that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and every male in his household, including those born there and those he had bought, and then he circumcised them, cutting off their foreskins just as God had told him. And Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and Ishmael his son was 13. Both Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised on the same day, along with all the men and boys of the household, whether they were born there or bought as servants, all were circumcised with him. Wow, quite a long reading, but very interesting story, and a really important story. I've called today's message, When All Else Fails, because I kind of get this feeling that for Abraham, that's kind of where he is at. You know, he'd tried it all. He'd done it all. You know, he'd received the promise of God. He'd taken matters into his own hands. You know, it'd been all this time, 25 years from the promise, 13 years silence after Ishmael. He tried it all, and somehow, you know, it just wasn't working. And I think God really loves this kind of time, because this is when God turns up and reaffirms his promise to him. And I find it really interesting that, you know, when God, after 13 years of silence, comes along and says, look, it's going to happen. You know, what does Abraham do? He kind of laughs. Not out loud, but he laughs on the inside. I wonder how many of us have ever kind of felt that, you know, when we've been believing God for something for a long time and it's not happened, and some kind person has come and spoken to you or prayed over you prophetically and confirmed a promise to you, and in your heart you kind of laughed on the inside, not offensively, you know, not made it obvious, but somehow inside your heart you think, you know, oh, this it's not going to happen, is it? And you're kind of laughing on the inside. I know I've been there at times. It happens to us all, doesn't it? And this is where Abraham was, I think, at this time. And it's often times like this, when all else has failed, we can really barely believe it any longer. We're trying to, but we can't quite believe it any longer. This is when God just loves to turn up and do when everything else has failed. We've kind of run out of our ideas. We've run out of our efforts. And when this happens, I think there's two things that we need to really take hold of. And these are my two main points for this morning. God says to us at these times, when all else is failing, God says to us, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. And the second thing he says, walk before me and be blameless. So first of all, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. It said in verse 1, Abraham, when Abraham was 99 years of age, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Now, so far, up until this point in Genesis, the word for God that had been referred to in Scripture had been Elohim, okay, which is God Creator. It's kind of God, a generic, really. Even pagans would use this term to describe their God. So, you know, it's God. But now, at this moment in time, when it really matters, God kind of comes up and says, hang about, I am El Shaddai. I am the one and true God. You know, I'm it. El Shaddai is the all-powerful, all-sufficient, omnipotent, only true God. El, if you want to know, El means God, powerful one. Shaddai means the one who's able, the one who sustains and keeps us. And if you want to hear a good preach about the names of God, I only listened to one because I was with Tony Davis the other week and he said, oh, I just recently preached on El Shaddai. And I listened to his preach. It was practically identical to what, in many respects, to what I'm going to share this morning. But his emphasis was on the name of God. My emphasis is on the story of Abraham this morning. But it's a really good preacher. Go to the Waterbrooks site and download Tony's message on El Shaddai. It'd be really blessing. Question is, why did God choose to reveal himself to Abraham with a new name, El Shaddai, I am God Almighty, at this moment in time? It's basically this: when I can't, El Shaddai can. Simple as that. If you just remember that phrase, you know, that you'll go away with something really important. When I can't, he can. When I can't, El Shaddai can. For me, it's the classic, putting New Testament terms, you know, when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, his power is made perfect in my weakness. You know, my grace is sufficient for you. You know, often God lets us try and do things in our own strength. And more often than not, when we do things in our own strength, that's when we tend to run out of steam and it's hard work and we get discouraged and, you know. And that's when God will want to reveal himself as, you know, I am El Shaddai. I'm the all-powerful God. I'm the one that's sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. You know, I find myself all the time praying this prayer. God, you know, your power is made perfect in my weakness. You know, when it comes to leading the church, you know, you might think, oh, you know, I'm a fairly confident, able guy. Well, it's true, I am a fairly confident, able guy. I won't deny that. But you'd be amazed how inadequate actually I often feel when it comes to really pushing forward in the things of God. And I feel that I really need God to lead the church. And I am glad that I really feel that I need God to lead this church. Because the moment I feel that I don't need God, then you lot need to rebuke me and tell me I'm running ahead of God. But actually, it's not true. I all the time I'm praying, God, you know, help me. I need you. I need you to help me to lead this church because I don't want to do it and I feel I can do it in my strength. And God loves it when we draw on his power. You know, Luke 1:37 says, nothing is impossible with God. Matthew 19:26 says, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I am El Shaddai, Almighty God. I think this is exactly where Abraham was in this story. I think, you know, 13 years down the line, Ishmael, you know, is growing up. He's a stroppy teenager by now, you know, and all the problems that come with that. And, you know, there's no sign of anything else happening. He's 99 years of age and 90 years of age, you know, way past childbearing age. This is completely bonkers. You know, there's no way this can happen now. And God says, you know, I know it's impossible, isn't it, for you? It's outrageous. It's ridiculous. I am El Shaddai. I'm El Shaddai, the all-powerful, all-sufficient God. Where you can't, I can. And I find Abraham's response really interesting at this point, moment, because the moment God turns on and says, I am El Shaddai, what does Abraham do? He falls face down. He falls face down in the presence of God. And that's how God requires us all to respond to him, really. You know, in our desperation, you know, when we're kind of at the end of our tether, when all else it fails and God turns up, you know, don't get all stroppy with God, say, well, you know, what's going on, God? Why haven't you done this? Surely, and blah, blah, blah. Fall face down. Just get on your knees. Repent for where you are, because perhaps where you are is not where you needed to be. It is where you are, but, and just say, God, you know, I can't. But you can. I know you can. You know, all I need is your grace. You are El Shaddai. If you look into the next bit of the story, you know, the first eight verses, it's like a big step change now in the way God communicates with Abraham. He says, I will make a covenant with you. I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. I will make you a father of a multitude of nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. I will confirm my covenant with you. I will always be your God. I will give the entire land of Canaan to you. Fantastic, isn't it? This is what God will do. You know, not Abraham, this is what God's going to do. It's like a marriage. You know, because this is God's covenant to Abraham, and covenant is like a marriage, isn't it? You know, all that I have, I give to you. All that I am, I share with you. And that's what God's saying to Abraham right now. You know, all that I am, I'm giving it to you, Abraham. Everything I am, I'm going to be your God. Everything I am, I share with you. What an incredible covenant. And it's for better or for worse. That's what we say in our marriage vows, isn't it? You know, and Abraham had completely blown it. You know, he'd lied, he'd not believed, he's not where he probably should have been. And does God come along and say, well, you've blown it tough. You're on your own, mate. Do it through Ishmael. No. For better or for worse, Abraham, everything I have, I give to you. Everything I am, I share with you. I covenant myself to you. It's God's covenant to Abraham. It's God's grace. It's not what we deserve. It's not what we've earned. It's what God has chosen out of his incredible, amazing, abounding love for Abraham and his amazing love for you and for me. That's what grace is. God says, I give you it all, every bit of it to you. I think it's just amazing. And basically God is saying, okay, Abraham, step aside. Step aside. I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Just watch in amazement now what I can do where you have failed in your own strength. That's what's happening in this story. I think it's just amazing, wonderful. You've got to really immerse yourself in these stories to get the most out of it. So, you know, just to pause at this moment and this first point, you know, have you given up on something? You know, have there been things in your life that you have really just poured out to God? You know, it's been so difficult. You've tried to believe, you have believed. You know, you have believed. But for whatever reason, you know, things have just not gone the way that you wanted, and have not worked out time-wise the way you really wanted things to work out. And it's just, you know, you're not now where you hoped you would be by now. And rather than still believing, you've kind of got to the point where, you know, I just don't know that I can believe it anymore. And when it kind of comes up, you kind of laugh inside yourself. You know, oh, it's not going to happen now, is it? Well, what God says to you is, I am El Shaddai. I'm El Shaddai, God Almighty. I feel quite emotional, really, because just saying those words, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty, you know, there's just nothing at all impossible with God. You know, when we give up hope, when we think, I can't, God still can. He's incredible. It's interesting at this time, you know, God moves from a very vague message that you're going to be a father of many nations. He says, actually, it's going to be through Sarah. You're going to have a son. His name's going to be Isaac, and it's going to happen in 1 year's time. Now, you know, even if you could believe the generality that God's going to do it, when God starts speaking that specifically, it's quite hard to get your head around. I mean, God said something to you so specific, would you dare tell somebody that this is exactly what God has said to me? Every specific, it's quite hard to believe, isn't it? I am El Shaddai. I'm the God of miracles. You know, God can repair, he can restore, he can reverse, he can re-engineer. You know, he can do it all. You know, even if you think that things have gone so far that it is now impossible, even though it wasn't impossible before, God can reverse things. He can restore things. He can repair things. You know, God is God. I am El Shaddai. I'm God Almighty. Where you can't, I can. And the other beautiful thing about this is that, you know, God doesn't just want to change the situation, he wants to change you. And, you know, God at this point in time, when things had kind of got to the end and all else had failed, this is when God chose to change Abraham's name, who was the exalted father, to Abraham, the father of many nations. We're all known by our names, aren't you? I know Dave, I know Nikki, Kim, you know, we know each other by name. So Abraham is now the father of many nations. So you can imagine when he wandered around his household at 99 years of age and say, oh, my name's now Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. you know, they must have looked at him as if he was on some cuckoo land. Because his name did not reflect his situation, but it reflected God's promise. And, you know, I think that's beautiful. God wants to change us. And, you know, whatever it is that you're trusting God for, you need to declare these things. You know, it almost needs to become your name. Because, you know, I am El Shaddai. I am El Shaddai. I am Almighty God. I kind of feel, you know, I shared about the turning just earlier. I think the church has run out of steam. I think the church is feeling like, you know, we've tried it all. And, you know, the world just doesn't seem to be turning to you. You know, it's a general apathy. And God is coming along to the church and he's saying, I'm El Shaddai. I'm God Almighty. And suddenly, there's an outpouring of God where we've failed. Suddenly, we don't understand why. We don't understand why this crazy script seems to be bearing fruit, but it is, because it's God. Secondly, walk before me and be blameless. So in the NLT, which is what I read, it said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. In the NIV, I just like the succinctness of what it says in the NIV. It says, walk before me and be blameless. So God was going to do all the work. It was God that was going to make all this happen. And the only thing that God required of Abraham in order to enjoy that promise was to walk before him and be blameless. This isn't new to us. You know, this is what God always intended for mankind, for his people, all mankind really, to walk before him, to be his people, to be set apart for him, to be God's people, and to live righteously and to serve God faithfully. That's what God always required of all of us. You know, God is El Shaddai, he's Almighty God. There's nothing he can't do. His promises are 100% rock solid certain. They are yes and amen. But in order to enjoy the benefits, I guess, of God's promises, we need to walk before him and be blameless. Now, in 1 John 1:7, it says this: if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Can you see the similarity between that verse and what God said to Abraham? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, walk before me, and fellowship with one another, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we walk in the light, if we are transparent before God, you know, we are blameless. More correctly, he makes us blameless. Which is another example of the power of God, really, because we can't make ourselves blameless. You know, poor Abraham, it was going to be a tough deal for him to walk before God and be blameless, because he would have been doing it in his own strength. But Jesus has, you know, helps us, and it's Jesus, the work of Jesus, that makes us blameless. And the truth is, you know, the way we live our lives can either be a conduit or an obstacle to receiving the grace of God's promise. You know, it's just one of these difficult things. Is God's promise conditional? Or is it unconditional? It's one of these kind of theological brain teasers, really. There's nothing that you can do that will change God's heart towards you in terms of his promise. But our behaviour sometimes can just block that grace. So the grace of God is pouring down unconditionally, wanting to flood into your life, but you can block it. So in a sense it's conditional, but in a sense it's completely unconditional. You know, God has decreed this. It's his covenant. He's given you everything and he wants you to share in everything, and it's unconditional. But you can stop it. So it's kind of conditional. Do you get what I'm saying? From God's point of view, it's unconditional. But the way we live can seriously affect. And God wants us to be transparent. He wants us to walk before him. You know, the New Testament's full of, you know, wanting to about hiding in the dark. God doesn't want us to hide in the dark. He wants us to walk in the light. He wants us to walk transparently in the openness, but knowing that, you know, God's grace and God and Jesus' blood cleanses us from all sin, and that, you know, if we do mess up, as I'm sure we will do, you know, there's a grace that we can go back to God and say, God, I'm sorry, and we can receive that freshness once again into our lives, and we can continue to walk before him in the light and be blameless. It's not meant to be a burden. There's that lovely scripture, isn't there, in 2 Peter 1:3, it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. You know, God's done it all. And he's even done what he needs to do in your life to help you to live this life of walking before him and be blameless. It's not meant to be burdensome. It's not meant to be difficult. It's we make it difficult because we love sin. You know, we love the dark places. You know, we indulge in things and we hide from God, and that's when it becomes difficult. But actually, if we just walk in the light as he is in the light, you know, we can be blameless because it's not us, it's God. Another part of what God required Abraham and his family to do to enjoy the benefits was to carry a sign. Now, for us, the sign of being a child of God is having Jesus in our lives, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts. In the Old Testament, it was circumcision. Now, there's no way I was going to be able to get through the whole story of Abraham, and certainly I couldn't read this chapter of Genesis and avoid talking about circumcision. Don't worry, I haven't got any pictures. Circumcision is basically the removal of the foreskin of the man's penis. That's what it is. Big question, why? Why circumcision? Why do something just with the male? Now, these are good questions. Well, you know, as with much things in the Old Testament, you know, it's quite hard to get your head around. It's quite hard to be 100% definitive about some of these things. But as I've read around it, and this is where my heart gravitates towards as I've kind of looked at it, for me, I think that circumcision represents, you know, Adam's attempt to do it his way when he slept with Hagar and produced Ishmael. And by the male being circumcised, it's like saying he'll always bear that mark that doing it man's way fails. And that God's people was always about God's way. God's people was always about what God has done, where you can't, El Shaddai can, and they will always bear that sign. And why the male? Why not do something that the women have to do too? Well, again, it's a difficult one to be really conclusive about, but I think it's because it was Abraham ultimately that took matters into his own hands. It was Abraham who slept with Hagar and produced Ishmael. And I think it could be just as simple as that. But they, you know, in the Old Testament, they had this sign, which for me represents man's failure to make God's promise happen. And they will always remember, you know, where, so when they do what they have to do to procreate the land, which is what was required, they'll always remember, actually, God's people is God's way. God's people is because of El Shaddai. You know, in fact, there would not be God's people through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, etc., etc. That would not have happened had it not been because El Shaddai can. It's really important to note about circumcision and about this sign that the sign itself is not the means. What I mean by that is, by being circumcised, didn't make this child a child of God. What they're not a Jew in Israel because they were circumcised. And that's just a sign that they belong to God's people. It was God's choice. It was God's decision. It was God's covenant that they were his people and he was their God. Being circumcised was just a sign of their obedience to be part of that covenant. Do you see the difference? For us today, you know, going to church, doing good works, being baptized, even being baptized in the Spirit, praying and worship, none of these things make you a Christian. They are just signs that you are a Christian. There's only one thing that makes us a Christian, And that is the power of the cross when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. And we pray, we ask God, God, I receive you by faith. That's what makes you a Christian. All the other things are a sign of your obedience. So, you know, you would expect someone who has received Jesus into their lives to love God, to worship him, to go to church, to be good and do good works, and all these things, and be baptized. They are signs. But being a Christian is only down to El Shaddai. I am God Almighty. Being a Christian is the power of God. The other thing I like about this story really is it's how Abraham responded. And you've got to try and put yourself in his shoes there, particularly the men. You might want to cross your legs. But when God told Abraham to be circumcised and to circumcise his son and to circumcise his servants, what he didn't do, he said, well, God, you know, that's quite a tough one. Let me go away and think about it. And I'll come back to you on that. He didn't kind of weigh it all up as what we would try and do, really. And we would suggest that we're being wise sometimes by weighing things up, which kind of is true. So I don't want to throw out all wisdom. But it is interesting, isn't it, that he did this the same day. Maybe that was the only way he was going to do it, because I bet if he did go away and think about it for any length of time, he probably would have talked himself out of it and said, oh, I'm not hearing God, this is crazy. How could this possibly have any relevance to the promise? But it was just a simple sign saying, God, you know, it was a sign saying, Abraham, you failed, and this is a sign that you failed, and it will be with you forever. Now let me. And he did it immediately. I kind of love that. You know, when God speaks, respond. Don't keep going away and saying, I'll weigh it up. You know, we need to have faith in God. Okay, to wrap up. So God really called us to live the same faith as Abraham demonstrated back then. He doesn't require us to be physically circumcised. So men, you know, you're okay. But he does require us to be circumcised. All of us, women included. It's not a physical circumcision. It's a circumcision of the heart. It says in Romans 2:29, a true Jew, not the nation Jew, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it's a change of heart produced by God's Spirit. You know, if you want to see God's promises fulfilled in your life, then we need a circumcision of the heart. You know, it's not an outward sign per se, although I think there's outward evidence, there's fruit of the circumcision of the heart, but there has to be something inside of us, deep within us, that's willing to separate ourselves, you know, separate the flesh, put to death our own desires and say, I want to be set apart for God. You know, when you're willing to lay down your life, when you're willing to sacrifice, when you're willing to put it all down for God, that's when the grace of God can most easily flow into your life. You know, if you're willing to fall face down, if you're willing to walk transparency before God, you know, his grace is sufficient because I am El Shaddai. I'm God Almighty. It's amazing. I want to finish by playing a song. You're going to know this. It's one of my favourite Christian songs by Amy Grant. And it's called El Shaddai. And what you'll see here is you will see, there's a little video that goes, you'll see El Shaddai in action throughout history. And most importantly, you'll see El Shaddai enacted at the cross. There was no greater demonstration of human weakness when Jesus hung on that cross. But in that human weakness, there was no greater demonstration of the power of God. I am El Shaddai, God Almighty, which makes the way for salvation. Enjoy, and then the children are going to come in and do something.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Ech Hamkana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the ram, you saved the son of Abraham. Through the power of your hand, turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. And by your might, you set your children free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Ech Hamkana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Though the people couldn't see what Messiah ought to be, though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand. Your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power.